This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I've got a toss-up question for you guys. This toss-up question is in relation to the news that we just have. So, Baker Mayfield has been claimed. The Los Angeles Rams are the team that put in the waiver claim for Baker Mayfield. San Francisco did not. San Francisco has lost Trey Lance, their starter at the beginning of the year. They have lost Jimmy Garoppolo now to a foot injury, but he may be able to return. They are down to Brock Purdy holding it down. And they said no on Jimmy Garoppolo. On Baker Mayfield. Wouldn't have mattered anyway. They would not have won the waiver claim, as the Rams have a worse record than they do. Rob, if you're starting a team, and let's remove the money part of it, would you rather have Baker Mayfield as your starter or Russell Wilson? Like, that's where we've gotten to in both of their careers. Especially in Russell Wilson's career. It wasn't that long ago that we held Russell in the same category as Mahomes, Josh Allen, Brady, Rodgers. Remember the, wow, he doesn't have an MVP vote. Let Russ cook. You remember that? I mean, it wasn't that long ago. You remember that game that they had on Sunday Night Football against Cam Newton when Cam Newton was on the Patriots, and it was a 41-38 shootout? And the Patriots tried that QB run play on the goal line and got stopped. That seems like it was a generation ago. No, it was like 2 years ago that this happened. Like, it wasn't that long ago that Russell was an undeniable top 10 quarterback and looked at as one of the elite guys in the NFL. Now fast forward, and it's a legitimate debate on would you rather have Baker Mayfield, who will now be on his third team in a calendar year, or would you rather have Russell Wilson? That's how far we've gotten down the rabbit hole in Russell Wilson's career.
I think the answer is Baker Mayfield. I lean Baker Mayfield. I don't know there's a right answer. I think they're both bad. I lean Baker in this bad toss-up you've tossed on me for two reasons. One, age. Russell Wilson's old. Like, we remember Russell Wilson in college at Wisconsin. That was 10-plus years ago. So age is still in Baker's favor. I think you can reclaim his career. And two, Mitchell Schwartz has said it on this show before. He being Russell Wilson, appears to be a guy who's pretending to be a leader and saying what you need to say, and it rubs people the wrong way. There's a reason Mike Purcell is screaming at him. There's a reason why we all cringe when he speaks. There's a reason when we hear about Mr. Unlimited, it sends a chill down our back. It's not because he's good. Is because he's cringy, and that cringiness permeates in the locker room. And I think if you have to text him to go throw balls in the offseason, that's a problem. I think Baker is a better teammate, small, but better. I'll take Baker over Russ.
Text line 913-586-7610. Baker Mayfield has been claimed by the Rams. There's a chance that Baker Mayfield could start on Thursday Night Football for the Rams. I was joking a little bit with Sam Munson because he was saying, that run game, that offensive line, those wide receivers, yikes. The Rams are going to throw for 120 yards anyway. It doesn't matter who the person is. So you might as well go ahead and give Baker the opportunity to be the one to go out there and do it. Which one would you rather have as your starting quarterback? Would you rather have Russell Wilson or Baker Mayfield? I'm with you. I'd rather have Baker Mayfield too. I'd rather take the youth part of it. Next year, you allow Baker the opportunity to get healthy. But, I mean, we are talking the absolute bottom of the barrel, the dregs of the dregs. I never thought I would say that I'd much rather have Mike White than Baker Mayfield or Russell Wilson, but it's not even close between those two. I'd rather have Bailey Zappe than have either one of those individuals. That is just where we currently are. Someone says, hey, do you guys think the altitude is affecting Wilson's play all those years at ocean level and now a mile high up in thin air? No, he just stinks, bro. No, he just ain't good. I don't think Russell Wilson's problem is the elevation. It's not like the Broncos offense struggles at home and is humming elsewhere. No, that is not the case. They have scored 3 touchdowns since Halloween. That is true. The Broncos have scored 3 touchdowns since Halloween. You know how long Halloween was? They have scored 3 touchdowns since then. No, it has nothing to do with the altitude in Denver. Oh, my, Russell Wilson absolutely stinks. Coming up in just a bit, we'll be joined by Danny Parkins of 670 The Score. Park, what's good? He'll be on the show here coming up in just a little bit. Sometimes I say things and you guys get all up in arms and you guys disagree with me, and that's the show. You know, I don't have any problem with that. But I feel really good whenever my opinions are backed up by all pro players like Mitchell Shorts. Listen to what he said about Spags. And you know my stance. I'm not saying that Spags is Bill Belichick when it comes to drawing up and scheming these defenses, but it's only so much you can do if you don't have defensive linemen that can get after the quarterback. Listen to Mitchell Shorts.
I spent a lot of time the past couple days talking about Spags, and there's a lot of people unhappy with the defense and his coaching and all this stuff. Well, last year it was too much cover zero, it was too much man coverage. And this year it was a bunch of too high and some zone looks, and now it's too much soft coverage. Well, it's like, what do people want? He did the opposite of what he did last year. We still got burned. Why is that? Because of pressure. Like, you can't play that and not have pressure and not be able to make it successful. So I don't think it's, you know, a coaching structure thing. I would imagine next time we play him, we'll kind of revert back a little bit to the bread and butter of man coverage and throw some cover zero and throw maybe a little bit more cover one with a spy, maybe try to get Burrow on the run and, you know, be able to send Willie at him or one of those guys. But yeah, nothing works defensively without pressure.
So that is Mitchell Shorts joining us on the show. Now, I understand that Spags is not very popular right now on the text line. I imagine on social media, your Facebook groups, all of that stuff. But we got to hold Brett Veach equally as accountable for their defensive issues. We knew the pass rush was a problem. It was a problem last year. It was a problem 2 years ago. Their pass rush issues have not been resolved. And we are asking Spags to make do with what he has. We're asking their defensive coordinator to get pressure with Leo Chenal. We're asking him to get pressure from Legarius Sneed and to be creative and come up with these different schemes and take away from coverage and to try to get pressure on the quarterback. Nah, man. The problem is the bad contract of Frank Clark. The problem was the inactivity and free agency when it came to addressing the issue on this team, which is their ability to get pressure on the quarterback. I made the analogy yesterday. You can be the greatest basketball mind in the world. If you ain't got kids that can knock down shots, you ain't winning. You can draw up the right play. Eventually, it's going to be another person who has to knock down a jump shot. And if he can't do it, it don't matter that you got him open. You can come up with all the schemes in the world to get pressure, but eventually you know what you need. You need your front four to consistently win matchups, and the Chiefs don't do that. And that's just really going to hurt you when you go up against teams like Cincinnati. That's going to really hurt you when you go up against teams like Buffalo. When you go up against the premier tier one teams in the league, if Chris Jones continues to not have a sack in the postseason, if Frank Clark continues to be MIA in these situations, I just don't know how you consistently beat this quality of team. We're not talking about the tier two teams. We're not talking about the borderline playoff teams. We're talking about the elite, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme. And the Chiefs have struggled against those teams these last couple of years, largely because their defensive line ain't good enough. That's why. So you can be mad at Spags. And some of that anger is well placed. But I want to make sure that we're holding everybody accountable here. And Brett Veach has to answer for sitting there in March and April doing nothing when it came to pass rush. That money they spent on MVS could have been spent on pass rush. And they just allocated their funds a little bit differently than I would have for a team with a major problem in getting to the quarterback. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by one of the best sports talk hosts in the country, Danny Parkins of 670 The Score. We'll talk to Park about the Chiefs game and who he thinks is the best team in the AFC. That's all coming up. Don't turn that dial. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with CDOT, brought to you by KC Bobcat. Rent or own from KC Bobcat in Blue Springs, Olathe, or Tracy. The voice of Chiefs Kingdom, Mitch Holtis, joins the show every Monday starting at 4 o'clock on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The only place in town to hear the hypothetical button game is on The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Very happy to be joined right now by one of the best sports talk hosts in the country. He is with 670 The Score. Danny Parkins is his birth name, but not on this show. Park, what's good?
Good afternoon, CDOT. Sorry it's been a couple of weeks, man, since I last talked to you. How've you been?
I've been good, man. I know you're a very busy individual. You know, you're out here hosting one of the most popular sports talk shows in the country. You're going to New York. I see you taking pictures with the Rockefeller tree. You're doing a lot, man.
Yeah. You know, lost for that Marconi Award, but got the company to fly us to New York. So that was cool. And, yeah, man, you know, I'm just out here grinding, just, you know, paycheck to paycheck, as they say, Carrington, take to take, segment to segment.
No, so let's start with this because I know you watched it. It was the biggest game of the week in the National Football League, Chiefs and Bengals. Let's start with this, just a general question, and then we can talk about it and break it down. Who do you see as the favorite right now in the AFC? Because I think conventional wisdom will tell you it's Kansas City, right? Mahomes, Reed, they should be the one seed. But they've also lost to who could be the two biggest contenders in the AFC in Buffalo and Cincinnati in the regular season. Who do you see as the biggest contender, biggest threat in the AFC?
I think that the Chiefs deserve the slight edge. But I think what's happened is the Chiefs, like, their invincibility cloak is long since gone. You know, the rest of the league isn't scared of them anymore. So when the Bengals are talking trash back and they can point to, we beat them three times in a calendar year. Like, if the Chiefs play the Bengals in the playoffs this year, the pressure will be on the Chiefs because they'll be the higher seed. They'll be the favorite. They'll be at home. And the other team will have reasonable and earned belief that they can beat them. So the pressure will be all on Kansas City. And similarly with Buffalo, while they haven't done it in the postseason, they've done it in the regular season. Like, they know they can beat them. So whereas a couple of years ago, it felt like the Chiefs were playing like a different game than everybody else, or on a different level of difficulty on the video game. So who deserves to be the favorite? Like, if you said, hey, there's 10 grand on the floor, you get to pick it up if you're right, who's going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl? I'd pick the Chiefs, but if you said I got the third pick in the draft, and I ended up with the Bengals, I think I have a decent shot at walking away with 10 grand. You know what I mean? I think it's very, very close between the top three teams.
It's odd to say this out loud, and maybe you just have a different perception of it because you're in Chicago. But Sunday was the first time that I felt Chiefs fans really started to take Cincinnati seriously. Like, I think there is a belief that last year with the Bengals was a little bit of a fluke. Most people thought they'd win 5 or 6 games. Next thing we know, we look up and they're in the Super Bowl. Well, this year to me, it's been, what you did last year was cute, but you need to prove it again. You need to go back. I mean, Cincinnati is 8-2 in its last 10 games and just beat Kansas City in another close one-possession game. I think Cincinnati is playing at a very similar level to last year, where I think the loss on Sunday has forced a lot of Chiefs fans, and maybe even nationally, we got to start talking about Cincinnati not as this cute story last year, but as a legit contender moving forward in the AFC.
Dude, I think they absolutely are. Joe Burrow's incredible. And it's not just him, obviously. Like, Chase and Higgins is the best wide receiver duo in the league. They did it without Mixon and were still super successful on the ground. Preseason, Bill Barnwell said they had the best group of skill position guys in the entire league. And obviously Burrow is a gamer who isn't afraid of any moment and is incredible. So they can score 35 on anybody. So if you can score 35 on anybody, you can win the Super Bowl. So I definitely don't think that Cincinnati is like some sort of cute little story or any sort of fluke or anything like that. It's a murderer's row, man. Mahomes, Allen, Burrow. Like that is a big three. And that is a big three that's going to do battle for a decade in the AFC. So some years it'll be one team, some teams it'll be the other. Like, I think they'll all get theirs at some point. Obviously the Chiefs already have. I thought it was interesting that Travis Kelce on Jason and his podcast, or whatever their brother podcast is called, you know, talked about how, like, it's a transitional year for Kansas City because of trading Tyreek Hill and everything that went into that. So, like, if the Chiefs in a transitional year by their own admission can still be the odds-on favorite to win the damn conference, that speaks to how special the coach, the quarterback, the culture, the tight end, and all of that is. But this is definitely not close to the most fearsome or unbeatable Chiefs team.
Right now, we're talking to Danny Parkins of 670, The Score in Chicago. Mahomes or Hurts? Can you see anybody else inserting themselves in the MVP conversation?
I don't think so. But if the Bills win out and get the one seed and Josh Allen has, you know, 16 touchdowns in the last 5 games, you know, something crazy like that, like, and just finishes strong and they win out and get the one seed, and Hurts has a couple of pedestrian games down the stretch, then maybe. But, you know, Mahomes is going to likely set the single season passing yards record. That's pretty good. And Hurts is the new story, and their schedule's so easy, they easily could go 16-1 or 15-2. That's a pretty damn compelling argument. So I think that those are the two favorites. I think they're the two deserved favorites. But I do think that being the one seed in the tougher conference with some marquee wins and a huge winning streak to end the year, like, I wouldn't completely write off Josh Allen, but he's a distant third if it's a three-horse race.
Danny, I know you pretty well, I would say. You're one of my best friends. I talk a lot of sports with you. I've heard all the things you have said about Mike McCarthy. I've heard all the things you said about the over the years. I'm looking at a team right now that has a good quarterback, a team that has figured out the balance between Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, a team with emerging weapons offensively, and a team with probably the second-best defense in the league behind the Denver Broncos. And outside of the 1 year in which Dak Prescott broke his ankle, he has been a good coach for the Cowboys. You might be eating crow this year about the boys, man. You might be eating crow.
I might be. It's definitely true. They are built to win in the postseason, right? A running game should travel and a pass rush should travel, although obviously a pass rush is better at home when you've got crowd noise working to your advantage. But in general, running game and defense should be relatively coach-proof. But I still would worry about both quarterback and coach in a big game because they were also built to win last year. Like, it's not like they didn't have Lawrence and Parsons coming off the edge last year. and they didn't have a good running game. So I think the fact that they are likely not to win their division, and then because of how seeding works, you know, have a path where they have to play both the Niners and the Eagles on the road is not great. So I don't think they're going to win, but they are really good and getting better. And they, like, if you were going to say, you know, list six teams that could win the Super Bowl this year, I think they would have to be in your top six because of how special they are at certain aspects of football.
I can't remember.
And by the way, it's a little insulting that you said the biggest game of the weekend was Chiefs-Bengals. It's a little disrespectful because you're a comic book guy. You know about superheroes. Clark Kent, a.k.a. Superman, plays quarterback in the third biggest city in the country, the greatest city in the country, for a franchise that's never had a franchise quarterback. Like, yeah, they lost the game. Yeah, they only put up 19 points. Yeah, he had two interceptions late. But Justin Bleepin' Fields is the biggest story in the NFL right now, my friend. So if you want to talk about next year's league MVP now and be ahead of the curve, we can. Or we can wait and keep talking about the AFC West and the NFC East. But, like, it's a little disrespectful, frankly.
The Bears are going to be a very popular team that missed the playoffs. Who do you think will make the playoffs next year? Because I don't care how good Minnesota is, people will not believe in them next year. I have no clue what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. The Bears are going to be a very popular sleeper, but I know what's going to happen. This summer, they're going to make one big move because they've got a quarterback on a rookie deal. You are going to go crazy for it. Their over-under is going to be like 9.5. And they're going to win 7 games, and I'll make fun of you the entire season about it. I already know how next year's Bears season is going to go. Deep down, you know how it's going to go, too.
I don't know that.
No, you certainly know that.
It's very hurtful what you're saying. I don't agree. I don't know that I'm going to come on anymore. You talked about me being one of your best friends in the world. You shouldn't talk about one of your best friends in the world's team that way. It's not nice. And, frankly, I'm a little hurt. Dude, no quarterback in NFL history has run – for 3 rushing touchdowns of 50 yards or more in a career. Justin Fields has done it this season. Like, he's unbelievable. He had another run where he got to over 20 miles an hour on the next-gen stats, and he said he felt slow. Said he feels like he wants to normally be more of like a 21, 21.5 guy. And he was dropping dimes from the pocket to N'Keal Harry and Equanimeous St. Brown. They spend less money on receivers than any team in the league. They got a 5th-round pick rookie at left tackle. They got a 5th-round second-year dude at right tackle. They have no talent on offense. And he's just – you talked about Dallas. He scored 29 on that defense. Minnesota scored 3. They scored 33 on the Patriots on the road on Monday Night Football. Patriots are a top-5 defense. Like – he's unbelievable. They keep losing these close games, and if the season ended today, they'd have the 2nd pick in the draft. But he's playing great. It is – it's honestly like a dream outcome season. The Bears get clarity that Justin Fields is special. They have $100 million-plus in cap space, most of any team in the league, and they keep losing high-scoring close games. So they've got the right for the 2nd pick. Or they'll either take Jalen Carter from Georgia, Will Anderson from Alabama, or hopefully trade it for a king's ransom because someone wants C.J. Stroud or Will Levis and get multiple first-round picks like the Dolphins did. And then all of a sudden they'll be sitting there with a bunch of assets over the next 2 years to build around Justin Fields. Get ready. King of the North, baby.
What you just heard from Danny is the pathway to disappointment. I don't want to spend too much time talking about the Bears. I like talking about teams with winning records. I say that, and then I'm prepared to ask you this question. I can't remember if we did this when you were here, the Carrington hypothetical button game, but these are your 3 options. Your 3 options at quarterback are Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, or running the Wildcat. Which one of those 3 options would you pick?
For what team?
The Bears.
Oof.
So you either can have those 2 quarterbacks or you primarily have to run the Wildcat.
Well, the Bears are the best rushing team in the NFL, so I think I would choose the Wildcat. because, like, I don't – Baker Mayfield is is garbage. Like, he's going to be on, like, Fox Noon College Kickoff, like, in 12 months.
Six, probably.
Yeah. So definitely don't want that. Russell Wilson comes with a $250 million contract that hasn't even started yet. So no thank you. So, you know, like, if you told me just, like, Justin Fields or, like, you know, Huntley, the backup in Baltimore, like, they just got to come here and run the Wildcat. I'll probably take my chances with the Wildcat. But, again, that was a mean hypothetical. I don't appreciate it. I don't like that at all.
Have we ever seen anything like Russell Wilson? I mean, maybe the comparison would be Peyton Manning, that Peyton Manning went from being an MVP quarterback to, oh, my goodness, like, Peyton is absolutely cooked. But I was down on Russell coming into the season, but I didn't think he'd be the worst starting quarterback in the league. I didn't think the Broncos had the worst quarterback situation in the league. Like, I didn't even think that. I wasn't even that pessimistic on the trade. Have we ever seen anything like this Broncos offense and Russell Wilson?
No. It's a calamity. Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl for the Broncos, and he hurt his neck. Like, there was, like, an explanation for what happened to Peyton Manning. He was old and hurt. And he still was able to win with his mind. Russell Wilson is getting mocked by his teammates, past and present. Like, there's no one has any respect for the man. He's not moving. He's not throwing the ball down the field. He's not completing passes. He's not converting in the red zone. He's not even reaching the red zone. And his contract hasn't started yet. And the team doesn't have any draft picks. And they're going to fire their coach after 1 year. Like, it is in 2026, they can get out of the Russell Wilson contract and still have a $31 million dead cap hit, man. 2026! Like, that is unbelievable in terms of how far away that is. So they are, the Broncos' only two options are play Russell Wilson and hope and pray that he's not completely cooked, or play a quarterback for, like, the minimum, because they find they can spend more money on the quarterback position. Like, what are you going to do? So I don't see any path out of this for Denver, period. I think they are completely screwed. I think they might try to bottom out and, like, trade people, because, like, why would you pay Jerry Jeudy? Like, why would you? What's the point of investing in an offense that's completely broken and doesn't believe in its quarterback? So it might be a sunk cost there, and it is hilarious to watch. Absolutely hilarious.
MU and KU are playing this weekend in basketball. Missouri is undefeated, and if they beat Kansas, they'll be ranked. Who are you cheering for in the first time since 2011 the Jayhawks travel to Columbia, Missouri?
Rock Chalk Jayhawk, KU.
Bye, Danny.
Whatever makes you unhappy is what I'm rooting for.
That's Danny Parkins of 670 The Score. I don't know why he does that. I always try to make sure that he gets a really nice intro whenever he comes on. I genuinely think that Danny is one of the best sports talk hosts in the country. And then he does something foolish at the end of it. That makes me regret why he comes on this show. That makes me regret why he's here and why I allow him to give his poor sports analysis to you guys. I have to be better. That's a New Year's resolution for me. I want to be a better sports talk host to you guys, and I can't do that with Danny Parkins in my life. He continues to lead me astray. He continues to give me bad life advice, bad work advice. He's just not a good friend, and those are people that I need to remove from my life. Speaking of Missouri and Kansas, coming up in a bit, Rob, the Missouri athletic director, commented on the record about Kansas. We will get to that coming up in just a minute, but can we take 5 minutes to just point out the obvious? Now, I like to think that you guys come to us for unique perspectives, you know? That's what you hope if you do this, you know? I don't think my take on this is going to be pretty unique. I think it's going to be pretty obvious. Rob Manfred, he is the commissioner of Major League Baseball. Now, for those of you that really follow the Royals, you know that for some strange reason, baseball teams have made it more difficult to watch their team play. When you think about the ease there is in which to watch the Royals, you don't need cable even to watch the Chiefs. You could just turn on CBS. You could just turn on Fox. Hell, even when they play behind a paywall like Amazon Prime, you know what the NFL does? They still make it really easy for you to watch. Well, baseball has determined in a time in which you have more entertainment options than ever before, they have decided to make it more difficult to watch their team play. Well, Rob Manfred today down at the winter meeting said that he doesn't think that that is sustainable long-term for baseball. You think? Rob, how do these people get in these jobs with this power and this much money, yet have no clue how the average consumer thinks? Some of you love watching the Royals, and it doesn't matter what channel they're on or how much, you will spend what they tell you to spend. The group of you that feel that way about baseball is a small number of people. So why baseball would come up with a streaming service that makes it more difficult for its fans to watch the sport at this time makes absolutely no sense. Because you know what a lot of you just did with the Royals? Out of sight, out of mind. That team's not good. And I'm not spending any additional dollars to watch them. Sure, I might go out to a game or two, or I'll get Royals tickets from my job, or my neighbor has season tickets and he can't go, so I'll go. But you're telling me I got to download an app. I got to sign up for another subscription service just to watch the Royals play? No thanks. I would have told Rob Manfred that free of charge. I would have told him that this is a terrible way of growing your game and getting your game into consumers that really want to digest it. But like most poorly run companies, they did something really, really foolish and something that alienated its fan base. And now, after pissing off your core, after upsetting your base, we don't think this is a long-term model. Yeah, you know what the long-term model is? Just keeping them on cable and not getting greedy. Figuring out a way to get them on regular broadcast television would be great for your sport. Remember when the Royals used to be on 38 The Spot? That was a great time. Love 38 The Spot. Yeah, what happened to Holly Starr, man? Holly Starr's still around, man. She's still in the city. Let's get her on the show, man. Let's get Holly Starr on the show, man.
She's a perfect guest to preview the Texans.
Yeah.
Tell us about Long Neck Mills.
Let's get her and let's get the Watsons girl on the show. Let's make that our December goal. Let's get the Watsons girl on the show. What do you think the Watsons girl is up to, man? Can we get her on the show? Tell us stories.
About being in the Watsons ads?
Yeah, just, you know. What early 2000 Chiefs players was the thirstiest? There was one Chiefs player that made numerous inquiries. Who was that? Who do you think that was?
You know what this is? What happens when the Chiefs play the easiest December schedule of all time?
Well, I'm just offering up a suggestion, man.
I'm not saying the problem is it's not a bad one.
Just offering up a suggestion.
By the way, speaking of Manfred, the idea that baseball needed to be behind a paywall was like the eighth dumbest thing he's done as commissioner. So as much as I love to crush him, there are bigger offenses. You remember when they didn't play baseball last year in April because he's an idiot? I remember.
Okay, I'm just, you know, just offering up a suggestion, man. I don't know. I'm just here, man. I don't know what Rob Manfred is thinking. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what his goal is with baseball. And I don't think it's going incredibly well, but, you know, I'm just here, man.
Unless his goal is to get paid, in which case he has a nice check.
No, he definitely does that.
If that's the goal, Rob, you're nailing it. You're on fire.
He definitely does that. Someone said Holly Starr still lives here. She lives in Parkville. Well, get Holly Starr to come in studio. Next time you see her, just have her come in studio. And let's just talk just about life and how she's doing. And I'd love to see what she's up to. All right, coming up on the other side, the athletic director of Missouri was asked point blank, are you scared of playing Kansas? I'll read to you what she said. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by KC Bobcat. Rent or own from KC Bobcat in Blue Springs, Olathe, or Tracy. Catch Nate Taylor in studio every Friday starting at 4 o'clock. And if you miss any of the conversation, listen on demand with the Odyssey app and 610sports.com.
You're listening to CDOT.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho. Ho.
All right, Rob. Can we examine these statements from Desiree Reed-Francois? She is the athletic director at the University of Missouri. Now, I want to let it be known that the Drive still has a formal request out to Missouri to Eli Drinkwitz and Desiree Reed-Francois to come on this show and answer my questions about the situation. Now, I believe Eli Drinkwitz is going to be on the show next week. I can't 100% confirm it, but I think he will be. I don't know about Desiree. I'd love to ask her these questions because I still got some after reading this. So I want that out there that we are doing what we're supposed to do to try to get her on the show, and she ain't coming on the show.
Would you say she's ducking this show like she ducked Kansas?
Relax, okay? Relax. You got a little bit too much dip on your chip. Now, Brett McMurphy, last week on this show, when I asked him, is Missouri scared of playing Kansas? This is what he said.
No, I don't think they're scared to play. I just think they don't see a benefit to playing Kansas. They're in the SEC, the better league than the Big 12, and right now the perception is Missouri is in a better situation than Kansas. Well, how would that perception change if Missouri lost to Kansas? It's the same thing you see with A&M and Texas. You've seen, you know, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State look like they're not going to play when they split up. I don't think they're, quote, scared. They just one team has nothing to gain. And so that's why I think ultimately they don't want to play.
All right. So let me read to you a story from PowerMizzou.com. Word to my guy, Gabe. Quote, we did not refuse the Liberty Bowl. We did not refuse to play Kansas. Quote, the SEC exclusively selects which teams go to which bowl games. We don't do that. They look at everything from your order of finish. Have you played in that bowl previously? There are a myriad of other factors that they can look at. Quote, Eli and the team's preference is critically important. It was very important to Eli. If we're not going to play in a New Year's Six game, he wanted to be able to have the young men go home for Christmas. That's always been most important for him and all the other coaches. So that certainly played a factor. The location is going to be most important as well, but most importantly, the date. All of this just seems really convenient to me. Given the relationship between the Big 12 and SEC and the Liberty Bowl and the date of it, it would have been impossible for you to play that game before Christmas. The Liberty Bowl is on December 28th. Now, I can read a calendar, and Christmas is the 25th. So it would have been impossible to play Kansas. So I will say this, Rob, and maybe this is me giving Missouri excuses. You can say that if you want. I don't think that Missouri is ducking playing Kansas either. I don't think Missouri was trying to go out of its way to play Kansas. That's not the vibe that I get. I don't get the vibe that Missouri went to the SEC and said, hey, we really want to play Kansas. We want to renew this rivalry. It's important to us to do it. We know that our fans are going to get energized by this. Like, I believe that Kansas communicated that to the Liberty Bowl. I believe that Kansas went to the Liberty Bowl and said, we'd love to play Missouri. I don't think that Missouri did that in this. I think they were like, well, I mean, if they put us there, we'll go. But, I mean, we're not really pushing to play in the Liberty Bowl. So are we calling that ducking? I don't know if I would call it ducking. I don't think the energy was there to play Kansas. That's not the vibe that I get from these comments. That's not the vibe that I've got from Missouri. I have not gotten any reason to believe that Missouri wanted to play Kansas. And maybe we would call that ducking. I could be parsing words here. Do you hear that any differently than that? Because I told you this is what I heard from Missouri people, that Missouri really wanted to play a bowl game before Christmas, and I don't think Missouri wanted to go to the Liberty Bowl. I don't think they wanted to go to Memphis.
I don't think Missouri wanted to play Kansas under any circumstance in a bowl game. I don't think they wanted Kansas. And I think we have backtracked and created reasons for why they didn't want Kansas. I think if the Liberty Bowl ended up being Missouri versus Texas or something like that, I think you would have feasibly seen Missouri in it. I think it was a Kansas problem. I also think that a lot of the excuses we've heard since the Brett McMurphy report, have been a little flimsy. If you look at the bowl tie-ins, which I have in front of me for the Big 12, they play the SEC in three bowl games. The Sugar Bowl, Missouri's never going. The Liberty Bowl and the Texas Bowl. Those bowls are all after Christmas. You know what Mizzou can say now? Oh, we just want to play after Christmas because all the chances to play Kansas were after Christmas. I think the basketball excuse, which I've heard from a lot of Missouri fans, is flimsy and very silly. Economically, I kind of get it, but I think it's silly. I think what happened behind the scenes is Mizzou was trying hard to not play Kansas or try to avoid Kansas, and they created roadblocks that they have used as excuses now because most of the roadblocks we've heard seem self-induced to me.
I don't disagree with you. Like right now, I think in this situation, we are arguing, is that the definition of ducking? That's what I think we're arguing.
I would say yes. I would say Missouri went out its way to project the image they would play anyone, but while behind the scenes, they were making sure they didn't have to play one team.
Because I think that Missouri, based on what I just read, based on hearing what Brett McMurphy said, I think Missouri created a criteria that would have been impossible for Kansas to fill. Would have been impossible. The only place you were playing Kansas was in Memphis. The only time you were going to play Kansas was after Christmas. And I just don't think that playing Kansas was a priority for Missouri. Let me know what you guys think. 913-586-7610. That's my interpretation from Desiree Reed Francois. That's how I hear this. I hear it as it just wasn't a big deal for them. Okay. Now, we can debate whether or not, like, I mean, I trust Brett McMurphy's sourcing. I trust his reporting. And if he says that he received a text that said Missouri doesn't want to play Kansas under any circumstance, I believe he received that text. But again, I think that Missouri just created a scenario that was impossible for Kansas to fill. Like, have you ever been trying to, like, really try to talk to a woman and then she tells you her type? Well, hold on. Well, then your type's just not me. You know what I mean? Like, your type's just not me. You know, I want a guy that's 6'5", that is a doctor. Then I have no chance then. Just say that from the beginning. Don't give me all this other runaround. That's what I think Missouri did to Kansas. I think they gave him the runaround. I think this is the definition of the runaround to me.
And I would call that ducking because the criteria you laid out is designed to avoid Kansas because Kansas can never fit into that criteria. And that criteria, by the way, was created by Mizzou. Not like the SEC or the bowl games came in and said, hey, here's the criteria where you want to fall after you adhere to these barriers. Nope. Mizzou went to the bowls and said, here's our stuff.
I can't disagree with you, man. I'm not. You and I are on the same page on this. I wish that we weren't. I imagine we won't be on the same page this weekend when Missouri hands Kansas their second basketball loss of this regular season. But on this subject, you and I are on the same page. Shameful behavior from the Tigers. Really shameful behavior. All right, coming up on the other side, Justin Reed is once again the main character of the day. Now, you would think on a Tuesday you would no longer be the main character, but he decided to offer himself up. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.